Christ here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. He's towards the end, or in the middle, actually in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And on several occasions, such as verse 38 and now in verse 43, he's correcting people's understanding of truth worked out in life. He starts by saying, both those, verse 38, verse 43, you have heard that it was said. And let me just read this one from verse 43 onwards. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us and give us an understanding of something that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us today. Help us, Lord, to understand his word for his time and his word for all time. And we pray that you would bless us and we would know the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit to change us into the image of the Son. In his name we pray. Amen. The title for this morning is A Shove in the Right Direction. We need shoves, don't we? We need to be pushed sometimes. Too easily we hesitate in an action and we don't bother to finish it. We don't carry on as we should. Maybe we don't keep in touch with somebody we know we should be keeping in touch with. We should be contacting that friend, but we neglect to do it. We need a shove in that direction. And maybe we need to tackle a job that needs attention. Many wives say to their husbands, you need a shove in that direction to tackle the job you said you would do, and indeed to finish the job that you said that you would do. Maybe you need a shove this morning to get back into the office or to the place of work. You're too easily restricted within your four walls, and post-COVID you need a shove in the right direction. We're people who need people. You need that shove perhaps this morning. Perhaps you're slow to deal with a problem. I always found when I worked in the city in London, if I didn't deal with a problem, it never solved the problem. The problem, if anything, got worse. You need a shove in the right direction to deal with a problem. And Jesus in his teaching is giving a shove to people who claim to know God. He says these words, and I'm using now, I think, probably the my NIV that I use. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I think you might be straight away reacting against that, against those words. You say these words, perhaps. You say, I'm broken. Perfection is out of my reach. If perfection is what Jesus demands of me, I can't do it. I give up if the God of heaven is closed off to me because I am what I am. I'm weak. Why call him Father if he's closed off to me? If the Almighty God is closed off to me? Well, hold on. The Lord Jesus Christ knows that sinless perfection is the environment of heaven. It's not the environment of earth. What he is doing here, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is he's setting the goal for his disciples. He's giving them a shove in the right direction. Once you trust him, you know that he is the perfection. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the perfection. Yours is the obedience of faith. That's to say, if you're a believer, you're growing mature, increasingly mature in Christ. You're daily refreshed by God's Spirit in you. And as that happens, you're moving in the right direction. Are you being refreshed this morning by the Spirit of God? It's a discipline to come before God and seek Him and know the refreshment of His Holy Spirit. It's a discipline, but it's a joy to set out each day with the Lord Jesus Christ. To set out with God, knowing God as your Father. Jesus used to do that. Set out each of his days knowing God as his Father. And yes, despite imperfections, to walk through life to be hand in hand with God the Father. Please note the guaranteed way to teach a false gospel is to take "be perfect" out of context. I was struck at the coronation when the Archbishop of Canterbury spoke to the King, Charles. He said, words of scripture, "Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve." And that's quite right, isn't it? And that's what a king needs to do for his country. But that's not the whole of that particular verse. And if we're going to use that as a church verse to preach the gospel or to share Jesus with others, we need to finish the verse, the sentence. You see, without finishing the sentence, Jesus coming not to be served but to serve, that's a social gospel. That's half the truth. It gets you out there helping people because you want to please Jesus, but you don't know why he's come. You see, there's more. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life, that was his great service, to give his life for you and me, to die on the cross, to carry your sin and your sorrow and make them his very own. That's the gospel hope, isn't it? Jesus gave his life to free us from what our sins deserve. So verse 48, to keep it in context, reads like this: "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Therefore is the vital link to the context of what was said before. The whole context, you see. I might say to you, "Therefore, I caught a bus to church." You might think, "Well, that guy's used to getting on buses." I'm not. You need to have the whole context of that phrase from the "therefore" onwards. You need to know what came before. What came before might be this, you see. "My car broke down. Therefore, I caught a bus to church." Now you understand, you see. The context. You don't go away thinking David always gets on buses. You think, well, David's got a car that's broken down and therefore use the bus. We need the context. The "therefore" refers to what was said before, which will be a characteristic of the perfect God as Jesus is speaking about life. A characteristic of the perfect God. Be perfect is to be you in one way that God's perfection is to be understood. I'll expand on that. And what the Lord Jesus Christ does here in these verses before, which end with "therefore be perfect," he says this in verse 43, "You have heard it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." You see, at that time in Israel, love your neighbor, which is where he starts. You've heard it said, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor had become, by implication, hate your enemy. See? Hold on. Is that how true faith in the living God is lived out? Go back, Jewish believer, who Jesus is talking to here. Go back, Jewish believer, to Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, and you'll read these words: if you come across your enemy's donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down on its load, under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure to help him with it. And so a love shove is needed. A love shove. Verse 44, we've just read it. But I tell you, Jesus says, this is his shove, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a love shove from the Lord. Jesus knew your neighbor may be your enemy. It was the case in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, following, wasn't it? Jesus spoke of a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by some robbers who left him half dead, and two religious leaders of the same religion passed down past this man who was half dead, but they walked on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan man from a different part of the country, a Samaritan man came along and he bandaged the wounds and cared for the man who was half dead, and that is real love. But what is shocking is this, that the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. And so it was real love, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Love in action from the exploited one. If this is a road of perfection, are you on it? In Leviticus, we read this, Leviticus 19, verse 17. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, he says. In other words, that's the end of it. I am the Lord, says Almighty God. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, am I listening to that? Or am I too caught up in politics? Are you listening to that? Do I love my neighbor, enemy or friend, as myself? You see, love is to have the best interests of all people. It's the mark of a Christian. It's an act of the will, not the emotion. It's an act of the will. What did Paul say to the Christians there in Philippi? He said that we're to have the same love as the Lord Jesus Christ. Be one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Can you do that? Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look out to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be, therefore, he doesn't say that, but it's there, isn't it? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who made himself nothing and took the very nature of a servant. Yes, he came to serve, though he went further. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Again, serving you, not counting his own life. The attitude of Christ. Corrie ten Boom was a lady who lived in Holland in the around the Second World War, before the Second World, through the Second World War, and afterwards, right up to relatively recent times. She lived in Holland, Netherlands. She often spoke publicly about the grace given her through the appalling concentration camp life that she endured. The grace given to her in that situation. And the years later, after speaking in a meeting, perhaps a bit like this, but a meeting during the week maybe, I don't know, a man came to shake her hand at the end of the meeting, as people do sometimes. And she recognized him as one of her former prison guards. in the concentration camp. And she had a great emotional struggle. How should she deal with this man? Well, God gave Corrie ten Boom his grace to take the guard's hand and offer Christ's forgiveness. Now, that's an act of the will. You see, she showed herself, didn't she, as a child of her Father in heaven. Verse 44, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute, that you may be sons or children of your Father in heaven. She showed herself to be that. With sensitivity from God, I believe in her heart, with sensitivity from God to her history, she was shoved in the right direction. She's shoved towards the perfection of God as her Saviour. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, there are parallel verses to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 8. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, love your enemies. Do good to them. You'll be sons of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And is that not you and me? He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful. Luke records this as not be perfect, but be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This mercy is our Father's perfection. It's part of his character. It's the characteristic we're to learn from this passage, to show mercy to others, which is what it's all about. 43 to 8. This is your Father's perfection. Am I merciful? Are you merciful? If not, we need to repent towards God, don't we? Warren Wiersbe says, prayer takes the poison out of my attitude. Found it very helpful, personally. Prayer takes the poison out of my attitude. Come before a God who loves me. Loves me despite who I am, you see. Thank him for it. Know his love. Changes me, see? The Word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of my heart. Glad about that, aren't you? I want my thoughts and my attitudes judged by God in this world so I can be perfect as he is perfect. Head in that direction. Be shoved in that direction. This love for enemies, of course, is the cross of Christ, as I've indicated. This love for enemies is the cross of Christ. God is loving enemies when Jesus comes on the cross, dies on the cross. God is loving enemies. He's seeking reconciliation with enemies by loving them unto death. By paying the debt that his enemies owe him because he loves them. Love your enemies is the Christ of the cross. Jesus on the cross, what did he do? What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father heard, by the way. Father heard. The centurion said, filled with awe and with fear. The centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. He came before Almighty God. He met him there. Changed his life, I'm sure. Oh, the mercy of God and the glory of grace seen in Jesus and his Father. God's grace, you see. God's love for enemies. We don't just see it amongst those people who come to church. Some of us believers, some of us not believers. I don't know where you stand before God, but God's grace is seen all around the world every day, isn't it? God uses a climate of kindness, literally, verse 46, verse 45. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What a glorious God he is. He loves the world. That's a shove in the right direction for us, isn't it? He loves the world. If you're a believer in Jesus, then we've got to love the world. We want to love the world, don't we? Whoever that might be, physical and personal, you see. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? The tax collectors, they love their entourage. The pagans greet their brothers. It's called humanism. It's human living, isn't it? But you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he rescued you and ransomed you, and you are to do more loving than the tax collector and the pagan. You are to love as God loves. You are to love the world. Keep in step with the love of the Spirit of God that's in you, believer. Keep in step. Read about that towards the end of Galatians. Keep in step with the Spirit of God in you. It's a joy to do that. It means you've got to pray every day and ask God to forgive you, clean you again, freshen you up, ready to walk forward with the Spirit of God in the right direction. If I only loved those who love me, it would be a very small friendship group. I ought to greet everyone warmly. It's an investment in love. Verses 38 to 43, 41, 42 is part of the same passage, really, isn't it? Those verses before the one we've just read. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Go out of your way for others, you see. Hold your possessions lightly. Greet foreigners. Leviticus 19 again. When a stranger lives in your land, do not ill-treat him. Treat as a native born. That's a challenge, isn't it? Love yourself, love as yourself, for you were strangers, talking to the Jewish people, you were strangers in Egypt. We were certainly strangers in a lost place, weren't we? And then he says, I am the Lord your God. Listen to me. Don't bring, as I said earlier, don't bring politics into it. Take people as you find them. In your attitude, be open to your world. Real love for the world comes only from God. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shan't perish, but have everlasting life. That's love, isn't it? But those who are destined to perish should have everlasting life. That's what you have if you're a believer this morning. It's what you can have if you're an unbeliever. You can become a believer. You can be a not yet believer who this morning becomes a believer. Trust in Jesus. He's the Savior. You've no hope apart from that. No hope apart from that. Well, I wonder whether you claim to have the Spirit of God this morning. Have you seen a change in your attitude? If you want to, I say you can. And so let me finally shove you in the right direction. Come before a perfect God and find the mercy you need. Whoever you are, God will now show you mercy if you ask for his forgiveness. He's already demonstrated his love for you when Christ died for your sin. And when you know him, when we know him, when you know him, you'll find yourself becoming like him. In that, you will realize the new experience of being merciful to others. That's part of the perfection that he wants to see in you. And then one day with joy, Jesus will bring you made perfect before your perfect God and Saviour. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll deal with us in the way that we need to be dealt with this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, not to listen to the preacher, but to listen to the Saviour. And we pray that you would do in our hearts, by your Holy Spirit, all the works of grace that we need, Lord, whether believers or unbelievers, that you would do great things in us and that transactions will be done. Heavenly Father, we pray, and that you would give us a love for others, and that we'll be able to express that love appropriately, Lord, in the right way, with care and being other person-centered. Help us, Lord. Show us, Lord, the way forward. Shove us, Lord, in the right direction, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.